Blog Talk Radio.
All right. All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praises to the Heavenly Mother, the Holy Spirit, and our brother, Yahawashah. So here we are, just like that. We're back. Another day, another moment in time to share with our brethren, our sisters, and our Father. So what do we know, my ginger elf? What do we know? We know that knowledge has increased. We know that there's so much knowledge out here that it is plain ridiculous if you still believe the narrative of the Gentiles. We know that they pretty much have distorted, lied, misinformed us for a long time. I coined a phrase the other day, and it's called the systematic miseducation, the systematic miseducation and the indoctrination of Israel industrial complex. This is what has befell us based on our forefathers' disobedience. That's what we know. And because of this disobedience, we as a people went into curses. Characteristics of curses is trouble. Trouble is death, destruction. Okay? And those are the things that we know. We see today that there are a lot of people. Initially, we had the Europeans coming against us when we were, when the Father was waking us up. He had the Europeans come against us about us not being Israel. Then we dismissed them, kept moving, and we then said, but wait, there's two kingdoms. So what kingdoms are these people from? And then we had the Ishes coming against us because they felt that we were trying to be them. We dismissed them, kept it moving. The Father showed us the error of their ways and showed us our blessings, and we moved forward through them. Now, today, incorporate all that into what we know. And now we're saying, hey, the lands over here are ours. So now we've got the Siberian folks coming against us who claim to be Native Americans who gained that title in the 1800s. Then we say, yeah, we're not from Africa. That slave trade doesn't even make sense logistically. There's no way that you know, Africans sold Africans into slavery, and there's no nation where we are from, where they in Africa can say we are from. You know, they don't even acknowledge us or want us to be part of their nations, okay? So now we got the Africans coming against us. So we've got most everybody, even the Asians at times. As a matter of fact, the Asians don't really come against us because they're too busy trying to culture appropriate everything that we do, okay? So they're not going to come against us to say we are not anything because it doesn't suit them when they're building their whole culture and society around what we do or what we have done, okay? So my point to that is that we have now the entire world coming against us for just saying we are Israel. So to me, that means a lot, and that says a lot, right? That says that, okay, there must be some truth in this, because if there was no truth in this, those people would have dismissed us and kept moving on, and everything would have been fine. They'd have been partying and drinking and smoking and doing their thing. Everybody would be one. The world would be at peace. But we know, what we know is that, that's not happening. Oh, what's up? We know that's not happening. So how do we deal with these things today? What we have to do, Israel, because we don't need to deal with, we've wasted so much time going back and forth and people who we are and all, we wasted so much time within our purpose, but it needed to happen. But we have wasted a lot of time going back and forth with all these nations of 83, okay? And today, or this evening, or this morning, whenever you hear this, so what I want to do is I want to say, be encouraged, Israel. Be encouraged, the Israelites. Be encouraged, Jacob. Be encouraged, the whole house of Israel, because our redemption is now, 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 not near, now. And by the looks of all their madness that they run around and pontificate on, and their, oh, well, debt ceilings, oh, well, war, oh, well, we ain't got no money, oh, well, we got the student loan, people got to pay, you know, for knowledge, okay? You know, you got to pay us for knowledge. Shoot, I went to school and I paid my debt. I worked hard. Listen, times are different, but that's okay because knowledge has increased. And now the knowledge that we gain without going through and even going through their education, miseducation systems, we're gaining more. They and it's funny because they can't gain on us. There's no more gaining for them. So you see them slipping into madness, and you see us moving towards the light. So, again, be encouraged, Israel, because our redemption is now, okay? So I want to read these verses because this is all about the redemption of Israel, okay? And when we read these things, when I read these things, we have to know who Israel is, because when you read this thing, these scriptures, our records from the perspective of a Gentile, then it could be anybody. But if you read them from the perspective of an Israelite, then you know without any uncertainty that these are Israelite scriptures and they pertain to us. Okay? All right, so we're going to start with Deuteronomy 7 and 8. But because the Lord, and I'm just going to read it as is. Okay, let me see something. Let's make sure real quick. Okay. We're going to start Deuteronomy 7 and 8. But because the Lord loved you, Israel, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, Israel, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, Israel, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, Israel, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, king of bondage, okay? So he's talking to us, like this is what he's done for us. We have to bring into remembrance now what he's done for us. We ain't got to worry about what the Gentiles have done. We ain't got to worry about what the heathens are doing. We just need to know and understand what the Father is doing for us. This is why the whole dichotomy, the whole thing has changed. The whole paradigm has shifted because we are now dealing with our knowledge. We're not dealing with someone else's knowledge. For so long, we've dealt with other people's knowledge about everything, including us. Now we've taken that back from them, and they don't know what to do. Okay? And you can see the world, and their world is crumbling, literally crumbling. Okay? Exodus 6, 6 through 8, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, wherefore say unto the children of the Gentiles. No, it doesn't say that. This is all about Israel. This is the good news. This is how we should be encouraged. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in. I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Hence why we say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. So again, our heritage, part of our heritage, is our land. So when we start talking about, oh, no. To Maori, you know, the Mauryan lands and people are us. Mu is us. Atlantis is up.
Oh, you niggers don't know what you talking about. You guys ain't nothing but slaves. You guys didn't create nothing. We created everything. We don't, and this is the African speaking, we don't care about, you guys are crazy. You guys don't do nothing right. You guys don't do anything. Yet they're over there giving all their resources away for free, allowing themselves to be enslaved in their own land. And they're not even us. I mean, imagine that. They're not even the Israelites, even though so many of us still cleave to that land over there, which is covetedness, because that is not our land. Not all of it is our land. There is a portion of it which is our land. But for the majority of it, it is not. Exodus 15:13, thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. So when you read these things, it's funny because only a few instances does it really directly state Israel. But again, we know, knowledge has increased, that the heathens and the Gentiles have put their filthy hands into our scriptures and taken all of that out so that they can, so these words can be ambiguous to anybody, which is why it's all crazy now for them, okay? Psalms 130:7-8, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So again, here's the Father speaking to his people, saying what he's going to do for his people. You know, the Gentiles want to take this out of context and say, oh, well, it's, you know, all of us. It's everyone. Everyone's his people. Well, that could and may be true. Now, side note, Ibid, right now, not all white people are Edomites or heathens. Not all black people, so-called, are Israel. We that have the melanin do have more of an opportunity to be from the blood stock of Israel, Jacob, okay? But what is the telltale sign of being of Israel is understanding, is how you act, is how you treat people, how you think. So if all these camps and black folks state, oh, yeah, yeah, we Israel, but yet they hating on the Edomites, on white folks, just like the white folks hated on them. How can they be part of the game? They ain't in the game. They in another game. Why? Because knowledge has increased. We should know that we know a man by, or woman, by their fruits, by their fruits. So if you got this so-called white person treating people right, doing the right thing, speaking righteously, giving understanding of scriptures from an Israelite perspective, well, 9 out of 10 times you can rest assured that they have some understanding, whether they be grafted in or of Israel. But if you, on the other hand, if you have these black folks that are running around here saying, I don't like, that's the same thing that the Edomites were doing in the 50s, all throughout the 20th century, all throughout. At some point, we have to step up. We have to increase our awareness, understanding, and knowledge so that we can be seen with good fruits. That's how we're going to know. That's how Father will determine who's who. All this stuff of, the Gentiles, a lot of them still want to claim that, you know, Jesus is the only way and this is the way. No. Side note, Ibid right here. Yes, Yahawashi is the only way, but you have to act like Yahawashi. You can't say out your mouth, "Oh, I love Yahawashi," and kill, steal, and destroy. That's okay. So what? You love him. He don't love you. That's just like any, you know, if I treat my neighbor bad and then I say, "Well, you know what? I love you," and he goes, "Well, I don't love you." I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is, matter of fact, this is psychology 101. And the heathens and the Gentiles, for some reason, well, because they're at the end of their blessings, it is completed, the completion of their blessings, they can no longer ascertain how to treat people because they are now a person or a people pushed up against the wall being questioned as to what they have done in the past, and they don't want to deal with it. Psychologically, they would rather kill you than talk about it. They would rather they would rather cut the feed. They would rather, you know, put us all in YouTube jail or wherever the heck, you know, Facebook, whatever, all these social media jails and block us rather than have this conversation, which is how you also know who they are. Because there's many a so-called black person that runs around here doing the same thing. "I ain't talking to you about this. You don't know what you're talking about. You ain't Israel." And then you got them, "Oh, well, Israel's over there in the Middle East." Well, as we know, because knowledge has increased, there is no Middle East. That's Northeast Africa. And as we know, that area was the Judeans. But what about Jerusalem? What about the Northern Kingdom? "Oh, we don't talk about the Northern Kingdom. You must mean the lost tribes." No, ain't no lost tribes. Ain't no lost. No. Knowledge has increased. We know that there is no lost tribe. We know that everyone knows where the people are that are the chosen people. Everybody knows. Majority of them are here in the Americas. Because part of the prophecy is that the whole house has to go into captivity together. Together. That's why, you know, it ain't in Africa, because they ain't been in captivity. They've been in self-inflicted captivity. They haven't been in chattel slavery. Captivity. You know, even the Europeans, the vagabonds who were enslaved as well, they were not chattel slaves. There's a difference. There's a difference. But they want, because they're simple-minded and foolish people, they want to lump everybody in together because it's easy for them. They are unable to take deep dives into anything. The moment it gets too deep, that's when they run and they create lies. "Oh, it's too deep. We don't want to deal with that. That's not how it is. I didn't learn that." The moment it gets too deep, they revert back to traditions of men. This is another telltale sign. This is why it's so beautiful a day and so beautiful a thing that is being done for our people to have this knowledge, to be able to ascertain, to be able to review and reflect and self-convict and self-correct ourselves so that we can be part of the kingdom, so that we can manifest the kingdom to come. So let's move forward. Psalms 137 through 8. I read that one, but let's read it again. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Isaiah 43:14. "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships." Okay? So For our sake, he's done these things. For the sake of the Babylonians, I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their for the sake of the Gentiles, I have sent to Babylon, to the Gentiles, and have brought down all their nobles and Chaldeans who cry is in the ship. See, none of that makes sense. It's all about a people. a specific, particular, peculiar people who no one really wants to acknowledge, but yet they love to be entertained by them. No one wants to acknowledge, we ain't got no good sense, we slaves, yet we jump the highest, we run the fastest, we are smartest in math, smartest in science, we're the smartest in astrology, astronomy, archaeology. We're the smartest in everything. And that's not bragging and boasting, but it is just the truth. It is the truth because I dare ask the question, but I will anyway. What, pray tell, positive contribution has the Europeans and the Gentiles and the heathens brought to the world civilizations, plural? What? You know, because you'll get a lot of discord amongst the Gentiles to say that we didn't do nothing, they had to do everything. But the question now is, tell me what? See, we Israelites are now done dealing with the knowledge of the tree of the of good and evil that the Gentiles suck off of and eat off of and lust after daily, moment by moment. We're tired of it. We're tired of that. We want something else. Our spirits want us to have something else. And now, because knowledge has increased, this is what we're gaining. We're gaining more information, more knowledge, more understanding. We're gaining our inheritance back. In fact, Brother Judah was over there talking about the pentacle, giving understanding of the pentacle. These things, like once we gain our inheritance is everything that they have in this world, whether, you know, they took all of our records, all of our knowledge, all of our understanding, and they split it amongst themselves. So that's where you get your Hindu, your Islam, your Buddhists, your Krishnas, your atheists, your Christians, your Catholics, all of it, every bit of it. But somehow they want us to believe that they all came up with it, but they are last to the game. It's funny, I was listening to Gates of Hulda, and Hulda, and she was talking about the Neanderthals, how now the creationists are stating that now, because before now, the depiction of a Neanderthal were these knuckle dragging, you know, club in hand, you know, grab their woman, dragging their woman by the hair, you know, just barbaric beasts, okay? Now, and that was because during that time, they were trying so hard to connect the Neanderthal mitochondrial DNA to Africa, okay? Because they say everything started in Africa, okay? Whatever. All right. Okay. In my head, during Pangaea, been in that area, but that doesn't mean that everything began there. I mean, we know that. Again, knowledge has increased, right? We can see the temples in America being oldest, the pyramids being older than these other things in these other places. Moreover, these other things in these other places were built by us in the first place. So that's not hard either. So anyway, she was showing this video of this creationist talking about how today now they say, no, the Neanderthal used to, they had communication, they had lipstick, they had they were doing all these things. Why? Because now they realize that the only people on the face of this earth that has this DNA, this mitochondrial DNA connection to the Neanderthal and the Denisovian man is them. Okay, so now they're trying to make mankind to be civilized. And because knowledge has increased, I know that the Neanderthal and the Denisovian, the connection of these people to the world is via the Horites. And that's just biblical history. But they don't want to acknowledge that biblical history because they know that the Horites were mankind. Okay? They were not Homo sapiens, but now they want to classify these people as Homo. Again, they want to tell us something with no proof when they've already proven all this stuff before. Okay? Moreover, these beings in the caves of northern Europe called the Neanderthals and the Denisovians didn't create nothing. Didn't create nothing. Moreover, those people were living there, knuckle dragging, whilst the rest of the world were builders, masons. And they want to act like somehow they have the connection to, you know, to ancient truths. So anyway, that was just a side note because I found that very interesting how now all of a sudden they're okay with that. Now they're all of a sudden trying to make the Neanderthal and the Denisovan man this Homo sapien who created all these things, all these civilized things, had these civilized traits when prior to today everyone knew that they didn't have any civilized traits. It's just funny how what they're trying to do to be relevant, okay? 47, 1 through 4. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Goes back to Israel. Not the Holy One of the Israelis, but the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 63:16, doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Jeremiah 15:21. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Jeremiah 31:11. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Okay, so now we're getting redeemed. Jeremiah 50:34. Their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead there that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. This is what, you know, that's what's happening. And side note, Ibit, and the Europeans want to say all this stuff happened then, it never happened, it won't, it's not now, that happened then. What they fail to realize, because this is not their scriptures and they have no spirit of it, is that things go in cycles. These are the things that will always happen and has always happened until Israel is redeemed. Then it's over. Then it's done. And right now we're being redeemed. He's cleaning us up. He's dusting us off. He's having us sit down. He's telling us sit down so he can heal us. And in order for us to be healed, we got to have our land back. Why? Because all of the healing power comes from the land. But when they got us thinking that, you know, our land in Africa and Africans, all of them, are acting like we ain't nothing. Because, look, if we were from Africa, we would have some place today in 2023 to say, hey, we all came from here, let's go back. Or that country would say, hey, my brothers and sisters, come back. We got you. Come back now. But they ain't doing that. They want to say, oh, yeah, Ghana. They want us to see they built some quarters for prisoners or slaves, whatever you want to call them, and they show that all the time in Ghana. And I'm always thinking to myself, well, my goodness, couldn't that have been anything else? Couldn't that have just been where they captured people and sent them off? I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be, the slaves, and just because they put the words on there, we know, because knowledge is increased, that that don't always mean the truth. Don't always mean the truth. How can we believe the Africans when they haven't even given us proof that we even came from there? How can we believe the Europeans when they haven't gave us any proof to show that they took us from there? They want to proclaim that Africa, everything began in Africa because of proximity to Europe, okay? So in their logic, in their history, in their historians, everything, you know, out of Africa means that it only could have gone one way. It only could have gone from not sub-Saharan Africa either, Ethiopia, Kush, Nubia, Kemet, Mizraim, to the middle, to the Mediterranean, up through Europe. That's how civilization evolved. Okay. Well, I'm here to beg to differ, because the reality is that it could have gone from which makes more sense. It could have gone from West Coast Africa, South America, meaning Europe wasn't even there was no direct connection to Europe like talking about in terms of civilizing them people. The civilization seems to have gone from West Coast Africa to South America, or South America to West Coast, really North America, what we call North America, to Mari, from the northern continent through central to southern to Africa, which then from Ethiopia, Kush, out towards India and the east and China, then back north through Siberia back into Europe. Western Europe. Like that seems more relevant and more realistic in terms of movement of the people. That seems more relevant. Why? Because what does Western Europe have to offer? Trade wise, not one thing. So let's see. Asia, India, they've got jewels, they got minerals. Let's see, Africa and South America and the Americas, they've got jewels, gold, and minerals. Let's see, what does Europe bring to the table? That's why knowledge has increased. And because this knowledge has increased, we now get to question them, whether they like it or not. But as question them, we've got to question them so that we can still be a light to them. Because there are so many people out here trying to figure out the truth that they're getting ensnared by this Christian madness of, you know, Jesus, love Jesus, Jesus is it. Like, you've got to, if you love Jesus, it's it. That's all you need. You ain't got to worry about them people. You ain't got to worry about this God that these people say, talking about like Abraham, Isaac. You ain't got to worry about that. All you got to worry about is Jesus. But that's not written. That's just not written. Isaiah, where are we? Yeah, Isaiah 43:1-4. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. I mean, that don't sound like everybody. That don't sound like the Romans. It don't sound like the popes. He's not talking to the popes. I don't know one place in the scriptures where it says anything about, I know that Rome killed me, but I'm going to go ahead and make their pope the vicar. That I'm going to give them the power over my people. It's just ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. Honestly, it's just ridiculous. Isaiah 44:21-28. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me. For I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. The Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Isaiah 48:20, go ye forth, go. All right, see there? Got disconnected. Now I'm back, just like that. All praises to the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaiah, where were we? Isaiah 48:20. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. I mean, the Father is set forth to redeem his people. So, you know, trying to replace them with some heathens that don't even treat people the way they want to be treated, that don't even, you know, love him, doesn't even make sense at this point. It's not a rational or reasonable, commonsensical, logical thought process. It's just not. And it's not against them, but it's for Israel, and that's my point. We are done. I am done dealing with what the Gentiles have done. We all know, and they're going to be judged for it. They're going to be judged swiftly for it. I don't need to worry about what they don't know or what they know. I don't care. These jokers have done, they have done devilment every which way but loose. And now we have the opportunity to forego them and cleave to our Father, just like they have the opportunity to forego their people, forego that craziness that their people do and say and act and have said and have acted, and cleave to Israel. So as we're cleaving to the Father, rightfully so, they're cleaving to us, rightfully so. And it don't matter if people don't like that setup, you need to take that up with the Father. You got to take that up with the Father. Well, that ain't how I think. Okay, that's fine, but that's how it's going to be. It's the only way it can be. We're mixed now. So they get to get in because we disobeyed. We went in our curses, so some of them get to get in. If we never went in our curses and we stayed true to the Father, they wouldn't get in. There would be no need for Yahushua to come back and redeem us because we did the right thing. But that's not the case. So some of them get in. But not before cleaving to Israel, not before knowing who Israel is, not before pushing aside all of the wickedness that their people have done, disowning their people, not before disowning their people, you know, can they get in? Can they cleave and then get in? Because it's about humility. It's about humble. You can't be humble or show humility if you still think that the Gentiles are everybody and everything, started everybody and everything, you know, knows everybody and everything. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. It's like going to the moon. Come on, man. We know. We know. You can't, you never went to the moon because your pride on something, on a feat, on an undertaking that big, that massive, you would have stitched together the largest American flag that you could, that anybody ever could have seen or dreamt up, and put that on the moon so everybody could see it, eye level, straight into the moon. That's what they would have done. However, we know they couldn't get through the firmament. However, we know that the moon isn't even, maybe it's a rock, maybe it's not. But we know that the Gentiles ain't been there. That much is true. That much is true in the spirit alone. And anybody that believes in that is insanely crazy. It's just like Memorial Day. Our people in Charleston chose to memorialize the soldiers who were destroyed by the Union. Okay? And they chose to create a memorial and memorialize our soldiers, the brothers and sisters, and the people who cleaved to them as they perished. The Gentiles got wind of them, was like, yo, we just going to take all of that and make it for our people. So I asked the question, what have they brought positively to the table? You know, this is why we have to move forward and ahead, a full steam ahead with this knowledge that's coming out. We have to listen to people, brothers and sisters, and listen to them for what they're saying so that we can then go and seek that information, go and read up on that information. Why? Because knowledge is increasing. Knowledge is just going to increase and then it's going to stop. No, this knowledge is going to increase all the way until we are new people. Till we are the people again, until we become new men and women of Yahawashah to enter into the kingdom to come. That's why this isn't difficult anymore. That's why, you know, I've done this for a while now, and you know, I've correlated a lot of history to a lot of scriptures early on. So if you want to hear those lessons, you got to go to Blog Talk and you got to go to The Rise of the Dry Bones Wednesdays at 9:30. And you can go all the way back to 2016 and you can start hearing how much history I brought to the table pertaining to these. I talked about the Denisovian and the Neanderthals before. I showed how the slave ships is a crock of boo-boo. I've touched on what they've done in terms of the Inquisition. I've talked about the Maccabees and Alexander. I went into all these things. Now is the time for the, this is what the Spirit's telling me, this is what the Father's giving me. Now it's time for me to switch gears and talk about Israel, the redemption of Israel, because that's what this is about. It's always been about that. You know, initially we had to figure out what was going on, why all this stuff happened. Now we know the 83, we know Psalms 83, we know the wicked, we know the Israelis, we know the Europeans, we know the Asians, we know the Africans, we know these Siberian non-indigenous people to this land are all against us. If nothing else, we know that. So continuing to say what they have done, in my opinion, is a waste of time. Now it's time for us to get ourselves straight and be like, yo, how can we be, how can I be redeemed? How can I help someone else see how to be redeemed? It don't matter if you ain't redeemed or redeemable. I mean, you're Gentile. Black, white, blue, purple, green, yellow, red, whatever. You're a Gentile. You know? And ain't nobody mad at the Gentiles. We just are tired of dealing with the Gentiles. You know, it's funny because point and proof of what I'm saying is driving in America. Okay? If all black people, if all black people were Israel, okay, then driving, every time that you drive on the interstate or whatever, drive on these roads, you would have much more courtesy. Brothers and sisters would be more courteous in driving. They would allow you to merge in front of them. As a matter of fact, there would be very few accidents. And all the accidents that would happen would be because of the Gentiles, the Europeans, okay? But that's not the case. So you got brothers and sisters out here, you know, flipping you off, road raging, mad at you for getting in front of them when they ain't even, they're on their phone. Or you got somebody trying to merge over on top of you when they should, you know, they need to slow down and wait and get behind to go just to be in front of you, you know, 8 feet. So this microcosm of spirituality of doing unto others as you want others to do unto you is just not in this world. The only way that it can be in the world is when Israel, the Israelites, bring it back. Why? Because when we start so we haven't treated each other well for a long time, and that's to be expected because of what we know about our past, our history, our struggles, okay? But now it's a new day, and now when we start treating each other right, okay, when we start talking to brothers and sisters with respect, right, then that gets shown because we're the only people that's never done that. So when we start doing that, immediately everyone sees it and goes, wait, what's going on? They ain't mad at each other? They don't hate each other? What? They love each other? Now that's a light. Now that's true love. That's showing the love of the Father. When we start having patience for one another, that's true love. These heathens and Gentiles ain't never seen that. Why? Because they are the ones who instituted the divide amongst us. So their whole goal was never to see us in that capacity with each other. But the moment we do that, when we know we Israel, we ain't got time. If I'm in the camp, I ain't got time to be sitting on the corner screaming, hollering, yelling at these fools. No, I'm out here trying to make relationships with other brothers and sisters to treat them with respect. You know, if I get on a show with someone else and they talking about Africa, I'm not going to browbeat them. I'm just going to be like, okay, we agree to disagree and keep it moving. But back in the day, fools might even go to blows. Hardware might even be shown over words, over ideas, over thoughts. So this is why we have to be redeemed. We have to be not only individually redeemed, but we have to be redeemed as a nation, as the collective. That's the beauty of all of this. We get to do that. What the hell does the Europeans need to be redeemed from? What does the Africans need to be redeemed from? What does the Siberians need to be redeemed from? What does the Asians need to be redeemed from? Shoot, they got everything. The Siberians got the money. They got these casinos. Matter of fact, they won't even acknowledge the Negro Cherokees and other hundred tribesmen the real tribes, and they don't even acknowledge them. They kick them out of their council. They all got to look white or light. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, that, no one needs to be redeemed like us, like Israel. Nobody. Nobody. So, you know, when we're talking about the good news and we're talking about how to treat one another, we're not talking about the Gentiles. We're talking about us. This is like an all-inclusive resort now. No. You can't come in. This is like a gated community now. No. You can't come in. And they steady knocking, trying to create subterfuge, you know, subterfuge, you know. They trying to infiltrate. They trying to cut out information, but they can't. This knowledge that has increased exponentially that they can't even keep up. That's why they coming out with this creation talking about the Neanderthals now Homo sapien. I mean, think about that. Why, you know, the 1800s, all they did was try to create a narrative that we were monkeys, that we were less than human. Less than human. But when they found out that we did not have any Neanderthal genes in us, now all of a sudden, and they do, now all of a sudden, and it's not like a little bit, it's like 6-7% of genes are Neanderthal. So now all of a sudden Neanderthal, those people were smart as hell. They know everything. They could paint, they could write, they could talk. It's like they could skate. You know, you see them on a Saturday night at the skating rink. Them jokers dancing like fire. It's like, what? Come on. You know, it's like all we're doing at this stage is increasing our knowledge. All we're doing at this stage is redeeming ourselves. We have repented. We're still repenting. We have atoned. We're still atoning. We are trying to heal ourselves, feng shui ourselves from the Gentile mindset. And the Gentiles don't want that. It's funny. They want, go back to Africa. You ain't nothing. You a savage. Okay, fine. That's great. We're Israel. We're not going to talk to you about nothing. What? You guys are hateful. What? Wait, we're not even talking to you. Why are you saying that you're hateful? Those people on the corner screaming bloody murder, making the kids feel bad. What? You guys did the same thing outside of our houses in the 50, from 1900 to 1970, and still some today. You guys would be outside of our houses, burning crosses, screaming bloody murder, being hateful. So I guess that's true. Takes one to know one. A hateful individual. All that does is keep us in that mindset. It keeps us in the mindset of a Gentile to where they can then turn around and say, you're hateful. But the moment we start redeeming ourselves through the love of the Father Spirit, they got nowhere to go. They're going, what? That's why everything is moving so fast on them. That's why we're gaining so much knowledge. I mean, magic, our inheritance, magic, our inheritance land, our inheritance history, our inheritance understanding, our inheritance anthropology, as astronomy, archaeology. I mean, it goes science, math. I mean, all that's got to come back to us. All of it. I mean, right now, we're under their understanding of these things. We haven't even had the moment. It's just like a couple months ago, those young sisters from New Orleans, from NOLA, broke the Pythagorean Theorem Code. See, we haven't had the opportunity to look at it from our own perspective. Once we do these things from our perspective, everything changes. That's what they That's why they scared us. That's why DeSantis running around talking about, you know, he goes, oh, well, since there's a war on truth, we're going to do a war on wokeness. What? That don't even make sense, DeSantis. I mean, these degenerates have lost have lost the plot. They don't even understand what they're saying no more. They can't do the right thing, which is why it's a waste of time to communicate to them. Let's move forward. Isaiah 49:7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Isaiah 52:9-12, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. I mean, he's talking to Israel. Like, everybody's mad at Israel or hate Israel and hate him, but he's going to do this thing to show the whole world that he's loved us. That's far from good news. That's exceptional news, which then means that we have to do something also. We have to do our part. And our part is not even – our part is getting all the information that we can obtain, getting wisdom from it, getting understanding from it, and being separate from her. That's the idea now. And if the camps and these other brothers and these other sisters and all these other people and these Christians and all them, they want to be, you know, fighting amongst themselves, so be it. Because only a remnant's going to be saved anyway. So who cares what they do? Who cares what they say? They ain't saying nothing, because if they were saying something, they would be, camps were saying something truthfully and honestly, but all this would have changed a while ago. But they too are holding our people captive, those of Israel, and the Father's going to judge them, just like he's going to judge these Gentiles. Matter of fact, the camps ain't nothing but Gentiles. And I ain't mad at them, because I came into this truth listening to GLCC, listening to all them other brothers. And every time that they would sit there and they would spew their rhetoric, all I felt was them hating. They were inciting me to hate. I can't stand these white people. All right, man. I mean, I know the good, the bad, the ugly in everybody. I know damn sure ain't all black people righteous, as I do know that all the rest of the nations ain't all righteous. But there are some. We're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater? We're going to do what they did to us? That's crazy. This tit for tat that the camps and all these other brothers and sisters want to go against, you know, oh, we all from Africa. Prove it. Stop saying it. Prove it. Prove it. Don't tell me that we came on slave ships. Prove it. Don't tell me that, you know, we were just savages. Prove it. Don't tell me that you are the Israelites. Prove it. See, this is where we end conversations. We end conversations with, prove it. We're no longer sitting back trying to entertain them. They have to entertain us. Now the dog and pony show is not us. It's them. Prove it.
Let's keep it moving. Psalms 49 and 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Job 5 and 20, in famine he shall redeem me from death, and in war from the power of the sword. This is what he's doing. Job 19, 25 through 26, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Okay? Hosea 13, 14. I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Isaiah 41, 14. For fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 48, 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Isaiah 54, 5. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he, Luke 1, 51, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts, Deuteronomy 11 and 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. Psalms 89, 10. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Psalm 77, 15. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Isaiah 62, 8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine for the which thou hast labored. Let me read this again. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. I've done this before, but I'm going to do it again. Where was corn originated? Mexico. Humans first started selectively breeding corns. Wild ancestor, Teosinte. Around 9,000 years ago in Mexico, but partially domesticated varieties of the crop did not reach the rest of Central and South America for another 1,500 to 2,000 years, respectfully. I ain't talking about no Asia, Africa, and Europe. No corn. See, these are the things that only the enlightened Israelites can grasp hold of. Everyone else will dismiss that. That one piece, corn. Corn is tamari. It is America. Where does it say corn in Egypt? It was wheat, grain, not corn. But yet we got corn. We've got grain and we've got wheat over here. Plus we got corn. So this is why it is our redemption. It is our understanding. Hold on one second. We have a caller, 917-324-7834. Okay. Did not want to speak, but okay, no worries. All is good. We move on. So this whole concept of the redeeming of Israel is the redeeming of the people of Israel. Let's do this as well. This is the madness of the heathens, okay? Because this is a heathen that did. This ain't even Gentiles. This is the heathens, okay? Because I just read 28 verses regarding the, and there's more. I just read 28 verses regarding the redeeming of Israel.
not the Israelis, but Israel, okay? And some reason, some psychotic reason, they think that they can come up with this. Replacement theology, supersessionism, a big word, supersessionism, placement theology, or fulfillment theology is a Christian theology which describes the theological conviction that the Christian church has superseded the Judeans and the nation of Israel, assuming their role as God's covenanted people, thus asserting that the new covenant through Jesus Christ is theirs. Okay? So how does that work? So what are the four types of theology? Biblical studies. This pillar of theology is the critical examination and interpretation of theological texts. Church history, systematic theology, study theology, and progress your faith journey. So this is their theology, but there's only one. I mean, you would think that their theology is straight Yahweh Shah, right? But no, their theology is all over the place. They got four of them, and then they branch off, and you got over 1,000 denominations of Christianity all saying they got the way, but yet they all say that their Jesus is the way. See, that's all confusion. That's all mistrust. That's all lies and trickery. Okay? And that's why when we look at these things, we have to take a step back and look at it from the perspective of an Israelite. How would the Israelites have interpreted this? Because everything that they have that the heathens and the Gentiles are talking about is from their own interpretation, their own lack of understanding interpretation. And today, here we are saying, hey, wait, whoa, that don't seem right. That interpretation I don't feel is true. And then they catch an attitude. Well, see, we wasted time telling them that we don't think that what they're saying is true when we don't even got to worry about that. What we have to do is say what we know, what we believe is true, and change the game. Ball with the basketball, and we come in and go, nah, that's not how we should do it. And they go, it's the way we've done it forever. And we go, okay, fine. We take all our players and we go over on the other field and we throw with the football. And then they're mesmerized going, I don't understand why they can't just do it the way we want to do it, or why they think that they're better than, and it's like, come on. We're trying to get to redemption. Are you? Matter of fact, we are getting to redemption. Are you? Redeeming, let's take a look at that real quick, because I want to make a point here. So redeeming, adjective, okay? Compensating for someone's or something's faults. Compensatory, tuneless dirges with few redeeming features. I don't know what that means. Able to save people from sin, error, or evil. So if we are being redeemed, so we are being compensated for our faults, okay, then that means the Father, and the compensation isn't gold and silver, 30 pieces of silver like the Gentiles want us to believe, you know, prosperity gospel, but it's knowledge and understanding, okay? So, and able to save people from sin, error, or evil. That's redeeming. That's what he's talking about. That's what I just read, 28 verses of the redeeming of Israel. They can't take that from us. This is why the world in and of itself, for them, they are struggling. But for us, the peace of mind, I mean, you know, we are rich. We are rich. Yes, some of us might not be rich in the physical in terms of you know, billionaire, millionaire, but more money, more problems, right? And then what Biggie said, more money, more problems. So here we are. We just doing our thing. We're learning. We're gaining knowledge. We're seeing. We're seeking after the Father. We're looking after, looking for truth. And all they're doing is trying to maintain a lie. So who's going to be redeemed? If I'm continuously trying to just gain information, I mean, if I'm trying to maintain, keep a lid on the truth, how can I be redeemed? You know, I can't. If they are unwilling to compensate us for their wickedness that we had to endure under their captivity, how can they be redeemed? And why would they if they gained? If they got the whole world, you know, and even though they lost their soul, but if they got the whole world, what are they needing to be redeemed for? Why? That don't even make sense. That's why we look at them perplexed-like as to say, are you all crazy? Are you all this mad and crazy that you guys don't even have a clue about these scriptures? Because the scriptures are all talking about the redeeming of a nation called Israel. And we ain't talking about the Israelis once again. So be blessed and know that, hey, we're being redeemed through this knowledge and this understanding. Just know that when we hear things of historical significance that we didn't know before, that we're starting to gain today, just know that's part of our redeeming. That's part of our inheritance because we have to know these things. We have to gain. So, you know, Israel, we are good. All is well. Be at peace because our redemption is here. All praises to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Heavenly Mother, and Yahweh Shai, our brother. Thanks for coming. Thanks for hearing. Leave your comments. Hit the button if you wish. Either way, this will be given out to the world. All praises. Shalom.